Bertha's still an addict. We'd like to thank Danny for the hell of a lesson. For our next speaker is Laverne. She's from North Carolina.
My name is Laverne. I'm a recovering addict. Well, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the God of my understanding for giving me another day clean without the thought or the desire of using. And I'd like to thank this convention committee for taking a risk and following some instructions from a power greater than themselves and me, and a power greater than me, to ask me to come speak at this convention. I'd like to thank Danny again because your message was powerful and I could respect it and I can identify. And what I know today is that God got a way of showing me anywhere I go. And if I could be a student and I could work some of them spiritual principles that he talked about like surrendering and admitting and I could identify me and somebody else, I just might learn something. And what I got from Danny was is that I can see that he's the type of hyper person just like I am. And when he share, you know, we got to do that dramatic, you know, because that helped me do me too. And I also can see that he has a compassion for speaking, just talking. I love to talk too. And it's one thing that I noticed that he was doing that I continue to have to work on, and that is stand still in one place while I speak. And I'm working real hard on that. Carrying the message and not the mess. And when I got that phone call, I think around January, February, Rosetta called me. And at that time, you know, I was on a lean. I was broke down mentally, physically, and spiritually. And had you called me a month before then, I was laying flat on my back. Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, praying. Because I know I needed something greater than me to help me get through what I was going through. Broke down mentally, physically, and spiritually. And so then when she asked me, I didn't immediately say yes, because I just told you I was broken down, right? And I said, well, hold on a second, let me call you right back. I had to call somebody else and ask their experience, strength, and hope. That girl just called me from up there in Ocean City, said she want me to come up there and speak. And the lady said, Judith, my girl, says, okay. I said, girl, you know I can't go up there and send out of them people that broke down as I am. She said, okay. Well, let me ask you this. She said, do you have a second step? I said, it's gone. Yes, I do. Well, what does the second step say? That we can't believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. She said, do you believe? See, it, you know, what I know is that repetition has a way of repeating itself on different levels. And when I first came in here, y'all told me to come to believe that I could, one day at a time, stop using dope, find a desire, and find a new way to live. And so now I'm listening to her asking me the same thing in a different way. And I says, well, yeah. She said, well, what does your second step say? I can't be restored. She said, do you know what you need to be restored from? Yeah, this beat down I'm going that quick. Do you not believe that by the time you have to go to Ocean City that your God can't restore you mentally, physically and spiritually, that you can carry a life-saving message. I'm trying to disqualify myself so I can't win that because she done threw out. You can't fight against what is real and what is true. Well, I ain't got the money. Okay. Do you not believe that your God and your won't make it possible that when he asks for your servants, that he won't make a way for you to get there? Put me in surrender mode. Get me out of myself, out of that pity part. I said, well, she said, matter of fact, if you're willing, I'm willing to go with you, share the expenses, and support you through everything you need to do God's will. The beat down. Woo! That's right, that's right. And so then I said, well, look, let me call you back. So I called Rosetta back and I said, well, that gal told me I rang her, better come on up there. I don't see how it's possible, but we'll do it. And so then what was going on with me, and I've been in this valley for some years, hell, these last 3-4 years of my life. And what I know is that when I came into this fellowship, you know, you all have a saying, and there's a saying in there that my thinking was warped. You know, my perception needed some working on. And what I know today is that when I look back at that picture, because see, I'm asking God from that day forth, fix me, so I can do what you have me to do, right? And let your will be done and not mine. So that means I got to get out the way. You know, he don't let me do anything but tell you this. My name is Laverne Robinson, and I'm from I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I was born in Vance County, which is Henderson, North Carolina. And I was born to the late Emma L. Robinson and Will Lee Robinson. And I'm one of two that was born from that union. And I have a sister that's older than me. And that's all he lets me do. Do the preliminaries. And then you get out the way. Right? And so then for the last 3 or 4 years, like I said, I came in here and I had that heard that saying, you know, your perception. You need to be restored to sanity. You know, so I came in here and I thought that I came in here like this. Right? But when I look back at the day I came into this process and I look at myself now, my picture and vision of myself when I came here about that perception has changed. I can imagine I looked like this to y'all. Yeah, yeah. But today, God has helped that building to just move, just to balance out and see me and myself in this world a little different. How I view myself, what I think and believe about myself, not what I've been told to believe or what I've been told that you are, you know, but what this program and this process has allowed me to find out about myself through the spiritual principle of surrendering, admitting, yeah, you weren't as smooth as you thought you were, girl. No, you didn't know all you know. They said something here about everything I know is subject to revision, especially what I know to be true, you know. And what I know to be true is that I needed to be restored. I needed to be restored. And so I came over to this thing and I looked at it and said, and I just look at the change. And like I said, when I first came into this process, all I believed was wrong with me is that I needed to learn how to stop using. But as I kept coming, and I kept coming, and you all start taking away those things that you knew that was going to be trouble, and that was imperative that I let go. And then not only did you take away, you gave me something back. You know, when it told me to get some new phone numbers and start fellowshipping with people who was trying to do the same thing that you were doing, and so forth and so on. And what I do then, I can look at it now. Why in the world would y'all want me not to hang out with Buster? Buster is my friend. Buster has always looked out for me. We used and used. Who else would, what would my world be like without Buster? Yeah, so I kept coming, and what I found out is that y'all should have gave me what my mama gave me at 5, 6 years old, a whipping. That's what I found out. Man, Buster them should have been gone a long time ago. So what was going on with me is that the last, you know, change, you know, because I didn't believe, I really didn't know what I wanted to be when I got here. And I really still don't know what I want to be, but I learned how to follow instructions. And a real dear friend of mine came to me 5 years ago and said, you need to go to school. Go to school? Yeah. Well, what will I go for? You just go over there and you sign up for, you know, substance abuse, because I've watched you and God wants to use you. You work very well with the men. With the means. With the means. And these guys in this area, to five out, I lost my mother in this process. I was going into my 18th month clean when I lost my mother. 8 months prior to that, my father died first, and I was nearly 11 month clean. 7 months after my mom died, my sister was diagnosed with MS, and I didn't know what MS was. All I know is that I was in constantly fear. And talk to my God. God, 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 if you take my sister, what am I going to do? November, 2 years ago, nearly 2 years, because it'd be 2 years, I lost my grandma. That's the person I call Ma, who raised me. You know, I came up, I'm 47 years old, so when I came up, we came up in the extended family, you know. If you was 3 years or older, you took care of those under you, and what happened was you thought you was grown, because see, they gave you some power. Really, 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 walk. They gave you some power, and not only did they give you some power and some, they give you some strength. I want my house better be clean, them children better not look better be clean, they better be fed, and yada yada yada, right? And so now, I'm the kid too, but I didn't realize. All I knew is that I was in charge. And I did, as repetition, I did to them what my people did to me. When they didn't act right, man, I got a switch. You know, like a worker art. My grandma could work a switch, and I trained. I looked at it, I could, woo. That girl know what I'm talking about over there, right? And then it come the day that they pulled the rug up from underneath and says, you know, you think, I thought that everything was all right. I was doing, but what happened was they won't tell my grandma that I was whooping them too. And so I guess they told her one day and told me that I didn't have the authority or the right to whoop nobody. Right? So I got a whooping for whooping them. But later on when I got in this process and I look back, some of those feelings that I was carrying was resentment, anger, because, you know, my childhood was stripped. I had to grow up faster than I was supposed to. Am I mad? Mm-mm. Just like he talked about the group. I belonged to a group whether I realized it or not, and I had a responsibility whether I realized it or not. The only difference was that I didn't have a vote. I had to do it. You know, and one of my defects of character was control. Yeah, I won't run some stuff, you know. Start letting me run some stuff at an early age. I want to run some things. But anyway, I lost my grandmother, and May the 12th is the end of this struggle as far as school. What has happened is that I have to commit myself to school. I am a barber by profession for the last 12 years. Never said I wanted to be a barber. And like I said, when I got out of the way, God took me on a journey. And it might not have been the journey that I wanted to go on. But what he did was, one of my things was patience. I couldn't sit still. And in that process of going to that barber shop my first year is where I really started working some step work. Right? Because, you know, I'm the new kid on the block. Ain't nobody going to let me cut nothing. Not only that, the new kid on the block, you know how fellas you think, that's a female at that, in a male's profession. She can't cut no hair. But y'all told me to beg the devil. Stay in the process. Believe in me and something greater than myself. And I tell you, I'm still standing on that line, and I cut just as well. I'm willing to put my money up against anybody because I can cut. You know, and I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, why am I here? I ain't never said to you that I wanted to be a barber. Matter of fact, I was the kid in art. When we went to school back in elementary, we had art. You know, you go to class for art and you color. They don't do that stuff now. And they had kids that could take them crayons, right? And they could color coordinate. And I just do basic colors, red, white, and blue. I learned about khaki by watching the others. Ooh, khaki and green, khaki and white. You might be able to put pink on khaki. You know, but if you go out there and them all the fuchsia colors, you know how you gals can put it together. Yeah, I can't do that. I stay basic. And so, but y'all told me, look here, my sister can do it now. My sister can do it. That's what keeps me clean on the upper scale of my dress though, right? So I says, what is it? I couldn't even take a crayon. You can used to take kids that take a crayon, and they'd go around the lines of the picture that was already drawn. Then they'd put that box back down. I'm just watching them get out of color, and they start inside. And it was a beautiful picture. Let me try this. I get a crayon and go around the I couldn't stay on the line. I couldn't even outline that something that was already there. So why am I here? Why am I here? Through prayer and meditation. I hadn't even got to that step. See, preparation comes before the steps. I got to take you to school. You don't even realize you're in school. You're doing the step already. You're just following instructions. And you're getting what I need you to have by the time I get you to that step. So then that you can do and get what I want you to get. Because you're going to grow in the process, Laverne. You're going to grow in the process, Laverne. And so why am I here? And he said, okay, you asked that question enough. I believe I give you the answer on this, God. Patience and tolerance. You don't have any patience. None. And in the barber game, it requires me to sit and wait. God almighty. Working on me before I even got to a step. Sit and wait. And I'm grateful for that schooling, and I'm grateful that I was able to sit still, and I was able to let y'all take Buster away from me and give me Jack. I'm grateful that y'all was able to take, because I had one or two gals that I got high with out there. take whoever her name was and give me soup. Because what I found out, it, later on, ain't been just 1 or 2 years. Sometimes, Oprah is my girl, that aha moment comes now that I went through 2 years, you know, our first year of recovery. I see what they mean. Yeah. And so what I found out is that he was prepping me. He was prepping me because when I was laid there depressed, I laid flat on my back for 3 weeks. Not there in the pity pond. Not there because I was there in prayer and meditation. God, give me what I need. I have exhausted all that I am, all that I can do, because I am grieving. Didn't even know I was grieving, because see, I'm up here now doing internship, and I'm doing groups, and every once in a while, my clinical supervisor said, well, how's it going? Oh, it's going. Ooh, we did this today, and such and such. I said, and such and such. He said, yeah, now how are you doing? What do you mean, Joe? I just told you how I was doing everything. No. How are you doing? God got a way that he'll put you and with people that don't know you, that could be non-biased and see clean through you, through his power and his will, to help me through a situation where that one I hang out with all the time might be afraid, might be don't have the courage to say, look, man, something going on with you. What's going on with you? How can I help? But instead will believe, not intentionally. She knows what to do. She's going through stuff like this. She going to be all right. No, I ain't going to be all right. I am still a sick and suffering addict that needs help. And on any given day, life on life term and the dead hand that it deals me, I might just not be able to deal with it at that moment. And he said, so I noticed that you didn't go home for Thanksgiving. And you know, the holidays this past year fell on Saturday. Who in the world up at the treatment center on Saturday wanting to work? And I'm an intern, ain't even got to work, ain't getting paid, not monetarily. I'm getting paid, though, knowledge and spiritually and training. And what you trying to say, Joe? Try to say what's going on with you. You know, see, it take a stranger in just 3-4 minutes of having a relating that those spirits could connect. And just for a minute, I could put down the wall and my defense mechanism and let Laverne peek out there, that little gal that's broke down and said, man, well, you know, ain't no need of me go home. Everybody dead now. They ain't the same. And the teal start rolling. And he says to me, well, who all did along? I said, everybody dead. My grandma gone. My mama gone. My aunt gone. You know, ain't nobody left but Costello. And I do what I can to get through that, because she was there through the whole act of addiction. Ever since everything that I do, she's there right now supporting. I'm talking about my mama's baby sister. That God allows me to look at her on any given day and to see that lady that I yearn just to be in her presence just for a second. A gift. And I can love and get what I need through that lady. You know, and I said, well, Joe, he said, this is what I want you to do. How many I got now? I tell you, these 10 minutes. And so then, through that, that's all right. I know how that boy felt. When you, I can't, she told me to give a look. When I put that paper up in front of Danny and said 4 minutes, I saw his whole spiritual man rock. And I identified. And when she gave me the sack and put it back, he got some more minutes, a little light came in back in the house. I argued over coming up here, it was, what in the world I'm gonna ride all the way up there and speak 30? I can't say nothing in 30 minutes. You know. But I had to learn how. I know I'm still dealing with Joe. The message for me was that I had to learn and I had to change my perception of life. I had to change my perception of me. And then I had to make a decision on how I viewed myself in the world. That was the change. You know? And what happens is that, you know, you can take certain mixtures, 2 + 2 = 4, 1 + 3 = 4, 0 + 4 = 4. You can set things in a lot of ways. You know, that fellow there from up top, I saw his spin as he was talking that northern thing. I said, I got to go up there and come back to the south. Wonder how they going to take me. You know? And I come up here and I put that dialect and twine that God gave me. See, I got to understand, there were a lot of things that was about me that I have wasn't by choice. I got to learn how to respect, love, and cherish that the gifts and the personality and the differences that God gave me are equal to God. In that surrender prayer. See, my sponsor worked with me on that surrender prayer before I got to the steps, because I had to see and understand. Grant me the serenity to accept things that I cannot change. I didn't know what I couldn't change, because when I came here, I could change and rule the world. Yeah. My disease had me in an egotistical, false pride. You know, I'm somebody. That exterior, because I was empty on the inside. I had to dress the outside up with it, you know, and everybody got a little swagger. You just got to be able to look at a person in divine respect and love to see it, you know. So we could all come up here with our swagger when we first get where it was a hard pimp limp to the side. You got something when you walk this way, you know, whatever it is. I got to know my place. And I can't change this skin tone. I got to learn and respect and know that this skin tone was a gift of that diversity. That diversity that I laid on come to understand through this process that's going to help me to find my place in this world. Yeah. The courage to change things I can. She said, what? People, places, and things. Now, what you can change is you. And the wisdom to know the difference. You know, early on. See, I had to work with that. So now, I'll lose a thought, bring me back. I'm lost now. What was I talking about last? See how I asked for help? What was it? We was ever still on Joe. Joe says that. I won't. See, there it is. That's right. Because when I came here, that pride told me, man, you can't tell them people you don't know. And now, when I look at, see, I can't. That's why I say I can't tell no story in 30 minutes. Cause I tell 3-4 stories simultaneously. And look. I'm telling you. And when we get to the end, they all equal too. Yeah. So anyhow, see, when I came in here, this is the deal. I bring this, I'm going to have to cut it on up. Y'all won't learn the rest of Joe's story. Get with me. I mean, listen. But he did some simplicity. He said, I want you to get a letter, and I want you to write. Because what I found out in that session is that Y'all told me to get up the next day and do just keep moving. The next right things. Keep moving. Just keep pushing. I just push. And I pushed myself through all of those losses of relationships that I ain't never had opportunity to grieve. And as soon as I wrote the word mom, it took me 30 minutes later to write I. And that's what he said. The book says too, says this right here. He said, listen here. He said, don't pe- that Joe's a recovering alcoholic. He running the program up there. He says, listen here. Those people in their fellowship are just like you. They ain't no doctors. They giving you the right information. But sometimes the right information at that time of your life could be the wrong information. You got to grieve. You got to feel the losses. You got to move through, I think it's 6 or 7, he said. I supposed to know something these counsel supposed to be. But it's 6 or 7 other stages of grief. You stuck in one of them. You got to find out which one it is. Right? So anyway, this is the last thing. I'm going to leave Joe. This is what I want to say right here. Come back over here. When I first came through that door, like I said, I was broken, right? Didn't know who, what, where, what. And I believed everything that those who had come before me told me it was. But as I kept coming, and I took a risk on me, and the risk was allowing a sponsor and a God of my understanding to take me through them steps so I could look at me. You need operating on. Already walked when you came in. Come on, let's look at you. And so when I first came here, what I believe, like this one right here, is what I don't believe anymore. Yeah. I'm so glad when the newcomer come through the door. All tore up, they lets me know that ain't nothing changed out there. Simultaneously, we're going to equal up. On the other hand, it said, he just got back from that relapse, girl. Look at him. All scarred up. Moved out there for 3 weeks. Look at him. Boy, he let me know that it ain't getting no better out there. What I know today for me, is that I don't need either one to let me know. I got a story and a track record so long and some war stories I can tell you to keep you laughing all night long to remind me that it ain't getting no better. Carrying the mess, not the mess. And like that fellow said, when you first, I'm saying this, I'm going to let this thing go. Look here. God has given me a second chance to be raised. See, I was given the information back then, but I couldn't use it because I was broken in here from events that happened to me as an early age that I had never addressed or resolved, dealt with. Right? So, I come in here. And I allow y'all to raise me again. And this is what I found out. Is that, what's your name? Who? Darryl C. I just lost that thought, train of thought. What was I saying? That's one of the damages that came from being out there destroying myself. I can't remember nothing in the next 5-10 seconds I say it. If I don't go ahead, I don't get it out quick. Right. So anyhow, this is why I was trying to say, what did I say that song? What you said, Danny? What did I say? Get me back on track so I can say this last thing. Get out of here. Okay, anyhow, this is what I'm trying to say. When I came in that door as a newcomer, y'all re-raised me, and you gave me the liberty to be who I was. But you also told me to remember. So when that newcomer come through that door, because I got a history of 5 years in and out relapse, and that person come back from a relapse, I don't see them walking in the door no way. I see me. And y'all allowed me in and out, without beating me up, judging me. Recovery was back then when I came here was different. Y'all loved me. I'm beating folks up now, man. I'm about scared to come back someday myself. But anyhow, you loved me through that process. And I have to remember, for that same person that coming through that door, there go I. I ain't here to kill him. I don't need to turn him on to no gossiping group. I don't need to turn him on to the stealing group. Because everything you, yeah, you believe it today, everything that was out there is in here. The message is hope. And the promise is freedom. And I need to carry the message of hope. Not the message of a mess that's going to kill a person right here without the use of dope. It's miserable being clean and lost on the inside. Thank y'all for letting me share.
I'm Bertha Skiller Addy. We'd like to thank Laverne and Danny for sharing the message of Skiller Addy. And we have a beautiful way of closing.